Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. It's a great afternoon, and it's just there's so much going on today in mortgages and mortgage rates. I don't always talk about mortgages here at Indy Real Estate Gurus, but today I really want to talk about the mortgage and mortgage rates, kind of how it evolves, how we end up with rates, what the rates are, maybe where we might think they're going over the next month to 6 months, maybe even a year or two, and why we might think that. So there's quite a few things really of great importance and of interest as we talk about that. And so the first thing I want to talk about is also where the housing market is how the housing market's doing and where it's headed. But the first thing I want to talk about is mortgage rates. And I want to explain kind of where mortgage rates come from. The mortgage rate comes from the mortgage-backed security bond market. Now, the mortgage bonds are sold and they're traded online. They're traded in the exchange. So the mortgage backs are there and they're available for people to buy. Now, the vast majority of the mortgage-backed securities today are being purchased by the feds. In fact, they've been buying approximately $22 billion every week. Now, last week, they bought $26 billion in mortgage-backed securities. Now, why is that important? The reason it's important is as long as they're buying that type of volume of mortgage-backed securities, there is very little chance we're going to see mortgage rates go up. So mortgage rates today are at historic lows, as low as we've ever seen. And the reason they're there is because the Fed started this huge buying of mortgage backs. And I think it was right around the very end of March. In March, we had very low rates, and then the COVID hit, and then rates went shooting up. So we went from, in the threes to in the fours. And then the Fed started buying, and we came back down, and then we've come down even farther. So that's what's happened in the market. And with the Feds buying this much in mortgage-backed securities, the outlook is that rates are going to stay very close to where they are today, maybe even go down. Now, what are we looking at to see why they might go down? Well, one of the factors that we're going to look at, or that we do look at, is there's different maturities of mortgage-backed securities. So there's different interest rates of mortgage-backed securities. You can buy a 3.5% bond, you can buy a 3% bond, a 2.5%, a 2% bond. The lower the bond, the lower that interest rate of that bond, the more it's telling us, if the Feds are buying certain bonds, where they think mortgage rates are going. And it was, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, they were buying, 4% bonds, 3.5% bonds, maybe even some 4.5% bonds. Just last week, they increased their buying of 2% bonds. So they were buying some 2.5s, they were buying 3s, they were buying some 3.5s. Now, almost all of it, they're buying 2% bonds, 2.5% bonds, or 3% bonds. They're still buying some 3.5s, but most of it is much lower. And that is an indication that we think that the Feds believe that rates are going to come down. Now, the other reason they're buying that type of bond is they want to keep the rates down. We think that if all of a sudden we go to 1.5% bonds, that will be a huge indication that they believe mortgage rates are coming down. Right now, it's not quite at that level, but we believe that mortgage rates are going to stay where they are. Now, with that said, if you have a house and you have not refinanced in the last 6 months, it is definitely something you should look at. Mortgage rates are the lowest they have ever been, and it can be a huge savings, especially if you're in the mid to upper threes or above, four, 4.5. I have some people, sometimes they're in the fives. Now, it is amazing that how much money you can save. Now, it does depend on what how much you owe and some other things, but there is huge savings available just to straight refinance. Now, we're also getting a lot of people with these extremely low rates that they're refinancing, but they're doing cash out to pay, maybe improve the house, pay off bills. There are some, I mean, it's amazing how much with these low rates. Let's say you have credit cards. Let's just take a cash out, paying off credit cards. Let's say you have a couple credit cards and you have $25,000 on it, and the interest rates on those cards aren't even high compared to, on credit cards, 14, 15%. You know, a lot of them are 20, 21, 22%. So let's say they're only 14, 15%, and you can refinance and you can lower it into the, you know, into the threes with the cash out. The savings that you can get is immense. Now, some people say, oh, well, you don't want to put it on the house. Well, here's what this is kind of how you do it. If you do that, then you take those payments you were making and you start making those on the house. And I can show you how quickly you'll pay off that house and how much money you'll save over the term by doing that. Not just on the mortgage, but all that money you just saved on the credit cards that you just paid off. Now, additionally, if you want to fix up your house, you want to make it nicer, you want to redo the kitchen or any of that, and you have the equity, and that's another piece that's very interesting in today's world, which really sets us apart from 2008, where everybody, when we were in a recession and the housing market fell apart, there was very little equity in homes. Today, there's huge equity in homes. It's trillions of dollars in equity in our homes. It's amazing how many people have at least 20% equity. So there's a lot of equity out there. So if you have, 30, 40, 50% equity, there's some room there in order to refinance, get the cash out, and then do those improvements to your home. And many times you're doing that, you're lowering the interest rate, and maybe even with adding that additional money, you're not adding much to the mortgage payment, or maybe not adding anything to the mortgage payment. So it's certainly one of those things that's definitely worth looking at. It's a good time to really look at that. Could mortgage rates go down farther? Absolutely they could. But is it worth the risk? They're at such low levels today that it's one of those things that's really hard to say, yep, let's just wait and see if they're going to go down even farther. It just doesn't make any sense. You want to make sure that if you want to do something like that with your home, that you are able to do that and look at that. And the best thing to do is contact me. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. All my contact information is there. You can call me, you can email me, you can fill out the contact information, but that's the best way to contact me, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And so what does this mean for anyone? We talked about, what does it mean for anyone who's not refinanced their mortgage in the last 6 months? I said, what it means is that most likely that your rate is much higher than today's rate. And it would definitely be worth your time to look at what the rate is today and what it's, what it should be, what you're looking at, how much you can lower it. And it's not just lowering to the rate, but it's the fact that you can now save quite a bit of money monthly, or you can shorten your term, maybe keep the payment about the same, maybe just raise it a little bit, shorten that term. And if you're going to be in the house for a long time, the savings over time can be absolutely tremendous. I've had some of them, over time, they're $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 over the first 15 years. Depends on the loan amount, depends on what the rate was, depends on what the rate is, all those things. But a lot of that is how long are you going to be in the house? And those are one of the questions I would ask. How long are you going to be in the house so we can set up which is the best option in which to refinance? If you're going to be in the house, now, if you're somebody who's looking at, you have a higher rate, but you think, I'm going to sell my house in 2 months, it's not worth refinancing no matter what the rate is. It's not going to make sense if you're going to be selling your house in a few months. But if you're going to be there a year, 2 years, 3 years, and your rate is in the mid threes or upper, then it does make sense to look at it. I'm not saying it's going to work out for everybody. It's going to be the best thing for everybody. But what we want to do is we want to run those numbers. We want to look at that and make sure what we're doing is giving you the best option. We want you to make sure that you have the best mortgage for you so that you're able to save as much money as possible, whether it's a monthly payment savings or whether it's over time in the actual building of equity of your home. You know, where we can maybe show you how after 15 years, if that's what your plan is to be there, that maybe you have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 in additional equity that you would not have had. Had you not refinanced. And we want to look at that. I have programs in which we can put that all together and you can see it. And I can show you based on time, which options that we have might be the best options for you. But each person has specific, you know, situation. And I want to work in that situation to help you to help you see what's going to be best for you. And I have an opinion, but my opinion really doesn't matter. What matters is I give you the facts. I want you to have the facts, and then I want you to be able to make that decision on what's going to be your best option. I'll help guide you if you want that, but I really just try to lay it all out so that you can see what we're looking at and know that if this is the right thing and the best thing, and then not only that, that out of these options that we've talked about and that I've put together for you, this is the best option possible. We're at the breaks, and after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the housing stats and how is the housing market doing.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. In this segment, we're going to talk about the housing market and what's going on in the housing market. And I want to start with, I've pulled a graph. Of course, you can't see it, but I did pull a graph I thought was very interesting. It's the surge in urban high-end listings. And what this graph is talking about is there is a move from the city into the suburbs. So the urban setting, which, you know, did have a pretty big move, people moving into the city and the urban areas, they're now wanting to move out. And this is showing us some of the increase in these listings, month over month increase from June to July on these surge in urban high end listings. And it's amazing. You know, you look at in Indianapolis, where there's 40.5% more listings today in the high-end listings than there were last month. So month over month, it's a 40% increase. And the reason is because people are wanting to move out of the urban areas. They want space. I was reading an article and they were talking about the things people are looking for. They're looking for a bigger yard. They're looking for to own a home. They're looking for more space, you know, in their house. They want more. People are, I guess, after COVID or through the COVID, they've gotten to the point where we just want to be out and we want more space. And so they're moving to the suburbs and these listings are going up in the city. And these people are wanting to move out. And so that's a real good indication of what's going on. And I'm going to go through some more statistics here in a minute.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
And this question comes from Jimmy K. He sent me an email and stated that he was looking to sell his home and buy a larger home, but he said he needed to buy first because no one seems to be interested in selling their homes to someone who has a home to sell. So they're not looking because our market, our housing market is so very hot, people aren't wanting to do contingency. So if you have a house to sell, they're really wanting to. In Jimmy's case, he's saying I need to be able to be pre-qualified, pre-approved without selling my house, and so that's what he wanted to talk about, and for Jimmy and for many people that is a definite that's a definite thing we can do. It's a possibility for a lot of people. We just look at those numbers. We walk through it. One of the big things that some people forget when they're trying to do that is, if you haven't sold your house, you still have to have a down payment. So where is that down payment coming from? That's probably the biggest issue I see, or at least the one of the two biggest issues I see. So you still have to have a down payment. Now, people come up with that down payment from a variety of areas. They'll come up if they have 401k. Many people can borrow against their 401k. You can have a gift from a family member. You could have an equity line on your current house that you can draw from to put the down payment. So there's a variety of ways to do that. Obviously, there's also savings. You could have savings or investments that you can pull and do that. So there are a lot of ways to get the down payment. And then it's just a matter of qualifying. We just have to run through the numbers because we have to qualify you with both houses. And we run through those and we figure out, you know, how can we make this work? And then a lot of people at the end, okay, let's say you qualified, like Jimmy, he qualified, but then when he sold his house because he had a lot of equity, he wanted to take some of that equity and he wanted to put it into the new home. And so he was worried about that. How do you finance this? And then what do you do at the end? Do you refinance the home? Well, most of the time, most people, what they'll do is it's called a recast of your mortgage. And if you put X amount of dollars extra in it, normally $10,000 or more, could be different, but you put that extra money in, and then you can do a lump sum payment, then you can do a recast of the mortgage. And what that means is we just take the mortgage, the new balance that you have, we take the current interest rate that you have, the interest rate that you had, the term that you have remaining, and you get a new payment based on that. So because your balance went down, you get a new payment and you don't have to refinance. Now, if rates go down, then it's something that we'd want to look at actually refinancing. But if rates stayed the same, that's what you can do, a recast, cost you a little bit of money, but it's a great way if you want to get the payment down. Some people don't. They just want to go ahead and pay it down, pay the higher payment, pay it off quicker. You can certainly do that also, so you don't have to do a recast. But that was one of the things Jimmy looked at and was interested in and looking at. So the reality here is if you have a house to sell and you want to buy a house, I would talk to your real estate agent about it. I would definitely, probably the first thing I would do is call me or contact me. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can go online. All my contact information's there. You can text me or send a contact, your contact information to me. I can get back with you, or you can just call me. My phone numbers and my emails are there, so you can get a hold of me. You can text me on my cell. But just get a hold of me if you want to talk about any of that. But then I would talk to a real estate agent to look at that and see how, you know, if it's going to work for you, what they think, and see if they think that you need to do that you need to be non-contingent. From whatever every agent I've been talking to, that is the guiding factor right now. And also, if you don't have a real estate agent, you know, please let me, you know, give me a call. We'll talk about the pre-approval. We'll talk about if you can do it as a contingency or non-contingent, see if you can do this without selling your home. And then I can help you certainly get with a good, solid top agent in your area that can help you both buy and sell a home. I work with some extremely good real estate agents. The people I work with are all at the top of the game. And so if you're interested, I can certainly help you get with the right people. But let's go back to the housing. So we've talked about Jimmy's question on housing, but what are the housing stats and how is housing doing right now, and what is it projected to do? There's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of people with different opinions. The opinion I believe is accurate based on the people that I've listened to and talked with about it is that the housing market is going to stay hot. You know, pending home sales, as an example, the pending home sales for June were up 12.2%. So what does that mean? That means that the homes that were on the market that sold, so they were up 12.2% year over year. That is a huge increase in pending home sales. Those homes that are pending, now those are going to go and they'll be closed homes probably in July, could be August, but those homes are moving from pending to sell. They've come off the market. There is still a lack of inventory on the market for the most part, not completely, but there is a lack of inventory. So having, there's still houses out there. So if you haven't bought a home, you don't have a home to sell, there's houses out there. If you have a home to sell and you want to buy a home, again, a great way to do it is talk about the non-contingency, make sure you qualify. We can go through that, work that all out. And these the stats are really showing that. The Census Bureau shows homeownership increased. This is another big piece. Homeownership increased from 65.3% to 67.9% in the second quarter 2020, which is near a 12-year high. That it went from 65.3% to 67.9%. That is a fairly substantial increase in the second quarter during COVID. I mean, that's near a 12-year high. More and more people are moving into homes, buying homes. These low interest rates are pushing that market, and it is really making a difference in home ownership, and home ownership makes a huge difference in our economy. The housing market, it appears on every chart I have seen, has made a pretty much a V recovery, and the not to say, I guess there could be a W. Some people are saying it's going to be a W, go back down again and go back up. But it's going up in amazingly increasing numbers. And to go with that, I thought I would do this by county. I mean, we're all in different counties, and I thought I'd just kind of hit the basic Marion County and surrounding counties. I don't have all of them, but I have the majority of them. Even went down a little bit down into the Monroe area, those areas, so I could give, you know, a pretty good idea of what the market's doing in all of these areas. And then let's start in Johnson County. Now, Johnson County has a population of 11,988 people. And the one-year appreciation is this year, 4.7% is the expectation of the one-year appreciation. So 4.7%. So if you have a $100,000 home, in 1 year it's going to be worth $104,700. Okay? That's a huge increase. That's a pretty good increase. 5 year appreciation is looking at 23.6%. So 23.6% appreciation over the next 5 years in Johnson County. We're talking about a median price in Johnson County of $192,000. So on $192,000, that 5 year gain, you buy a $192,000 home, and in 5 years, it's going to be worth $45,000 more money, according to these statistics, these expectations. So the 5 year gain, 23.6%, that's $45,000 on a $192,000 house. That takes you, you know, what, to 238, something like that, 237 a price. Now, not only that, if you look at owning a house like that, you buy a house, you buy it for 192, in 5 years, you're going to have paid some of it off. So let's say in 5 years, you know, you put your down payments, you paid some off. So let's say you owe $140,000, and now that $192,000 house has gone up to 238, and you owe $140. You've got nearly $100,000 in equity there that you can now move to your next house. That is very, very significant. A lot of money to be saved and made in home ownership. Home ownership is a great way to get to wealth. Now let's go to Marion County. Marion County has 110,861 people. The appreciation, now Johnson County was 4.7. The appreciation for 1 year in Marion County is expected to be 4.3%. The appreciation over the 5 years is expected to be 22%. Now the median price in Marion County is $165,000. With $165,000 and 22% appreciation in 5 years, you're looking at a gain of $36,000. So now you're looking at a value of just over $200,000 on the home in Marion County. So if you buy the median price and it appreciates at 22% over the next 5 years, you're now worth $201,000. Now in Hendricks County, on the west side, Hendricks County has a population of 8,631. The appreciation is 1 year appreciation is expected to be 4.2%, and the 5 year appreciation is expected to be 22.3%. Now that 22.3% on the median price in Hendricks County is $218,000. And so you take the $218,000 at 22.3%, that means the house increased by $48,000. So your $218,000 house is now worth $256,000. And again, if you'd paid that $218,000 down to 100, you know, let's say 180 with down payment and what you paid down, you know, you're looking at huge additional value that you can move, appreciation, equity in the house that you can now move to the next house in 5 years if that's what you wanted to do. So, you know, it's a very good thing to be looking at buying a house right now. The other thing is, if you put it off, you're losing out on this appreciation, and those houses are going to be that much more expensive. Let's go to Morgan County. In Morgan County, the population is only 4,390. The first year, the 1 year appreciation is 4.1%. The 5 year appreciation is 20.9%. So huge number over 5 years. The median price is $186,000, and that, so for 5 years, that's a gain of $39,000. Again, that is significant amount of money that is accumulated there and built in additional equity. So $39,000, again, take your down payment out of that, what you paid off, and all of a sudden you have all this equity that you can move to the next home. The next county is Morgan County. Morgan County has a population of 18,555. And the 1 year appreciation in Morgan County is 4.9%. So I think that's the largest appreciation we've seen. The 5 year appreciation, they're looking at 24.2%. So pretty large number. Median price is $187,000. So over 5 years, that house is going to go up by $45,000. So $45,000 increase in price. And again, that's a big number. And let's go to Brown County. Brown County has a population of 855 people. This is interesting to me because it's such a low amount of population. The 1 year appreciation is still 3.9%. The 5 year appreciation is 20.5%. And the 5 year gain on their median price of $214,000 is $44,000. So again, only 855 people population, but the appreciation in Brown County is significant. Very, very good. Outlook is very good for Brown County. Let's go to Hamilton County. Hamilton County has 17,748, and their 1 year appreciation is 4.2%. The 5 year appreciation is 22.8%. That's the expected. The median home price in Hamilton County is $285,000, and the 5 year gain at that 22.8% would be $65,000. So if you buy a median price home in Hamilton County, it goes up by $65,000. You put your down payment, you're going to have well over $100,000 in equity, most likely, to be able to move on to the next home. And then we'll move to Boone County. Boone County's last county I want to go through, and it's got 3,701 population. The 1 year appreciation is 4.3%. The 5 year is 22.7%. And that is on a median home price of $260,000. So that 5 year gain is $59,000. Again, you can see how this adds up. If you're not in a home, if you're a first time home buyer, you're just thinking about buying a home, the equity that you can build is tremendous. And the wealth you can build is tremendous. It is certainly something worth looking at. If you are thinking about that, you know, look me up online, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. All my contact information is there. Give me a call, text me, email me. You can contact me directly from the website, and we'll talk about it, and we'll go through how you get, you know, qualified. Let's say there's some reason you can't get qualified. We can talk about how to get you to the point of being qualified so we can help you to get down that path. We hope to help people. It's obviously a big time. People want to get out of the apartments, get out of their rentals, and move into a home of their own, and we can certainly help you with that. You know, I really do appreciate you joining me today, and please join us next Saturday as we talk about home appraisals and do you still have to have one?